Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph by the new Perek. Halokeach Ubar Parato Shelovei Kochavim. Someone who purchases the fetus of a para, obviously, who's going to be a Bechor of an Ovei Kochavim. Bamocherlo, or someone who sells it to the Goy. Afal Pi She'enu Rashai, even though he has no permission to do such. As Rashi notes over here, that's why the Mishnah used the word para instead of any other Behemah Torah, where all this would be true as well. But Afal Pi She'enu Rashai is particular to a Behemah Gasa, where we have a restriction against Mechirav, a Behemah Gasa, to an Ovei Kochavim. That's why it would indicate here, Afal Pi She'enu Rashai. Obviously, this Mishnah is parallel to the first Mishnah in the Masechta that dealt with the Ubar of the Petar Chamor. Over here, we're dealing with an Ubar of a Behemah Tehora, and the same rules are applying, which is that if you purchase the fetus, or you sell the fetus, even though you're not permitted to do such, Vamishta Teflo, or you join together in a partnership with him, Vamikabel Mimenu, or you take it from him, in a Kabbalah, meaning that you're going to do the work with the animal to raise it, and to feed it, and to fatten it up, and that would be your partnership, and for your work, you'll receive a portion of the profits, Vanotainlo, Vikabbalah, or vice versa, you give it to him for those purposes, Patur mina bichura. In all those instances, you are patur from the bichura. Shenemar bi Israel velo ba'achirim. Because the din of bichura applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. Because of the pasuk where it tells you that kadesh li kol bichor peterechem bivnei Israel ba'dama be'imad lihu. Yeah, ve'dever shema moshe le'mor kadesh li kol bichor peterechem bivnei Israel ba'dama be'imad lihu. Kili kol b'chor, b'yom ha'kiti kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, ikdash li kol b'chor b'Yisrael, v'adav e'beim aliyu ani Hashem. So both of those psukim point to the fact that the din of b'chor is uniquely associated with B'nai Yisrael, and not with non-Jews. And therefore, anytime you have a yad nachri b'emtza, it's going to exempt you from the din of b'chor. Ha'kohanim v'alevim chayavim. Over here, as opposed to by Petar Chamor, the b'levim and the kohanim are chayavim. Shelo niftaru mi b'chor be'emah Torah. They were never exempted from b'chor be'emah Torah. Elo mi pidyon ha-ben u mi peter chamor. They are exempt from pidyon ha-ben and peter chamor. The difference being whether it's kedushat ha-guf or kedushat tamim. When it comes to kedushat tamim, a monetary obligation, like by pidyon ha-ben and peter chamor, over there the kohanim and levim are exempted legamre. They don't have to give from their animals, and they don't have to give in payment for their firstborn. On the other hand, here by be'emah Torah, the din is that it has kedushat aguf, and the primary responsibility is to bring it as a korban. And that's true whether you're a kohen, you're a levi, or you're Israel. If it has a mum in it, then you can eat it like it's your own mamon. But that doesn't change the fact that this bechor has inherent kedushah in it, and for the kohen, he'll be able to keep it and bring it as a korban and be the balim of it. If it is a levi, he will have to give it to the kohen. If it's Israel, he'll also have to give it to the Kohen. Now, if it gets a mum in it, then the Kohen can eat it outside of Yerushalayim and not bring it as a Korban. But in all these cases, even if it's born to a Kohen or a Levi, it has that inherent Kedushah of Kedushat Guf, and therefore the Kohen and Levi are not exempt from the din of Bechor Be'emah Tehora. Gemara asks, Mayir Yadetani Ubar Chamuro Bereisha. Why did the Masechta begin discussing the fetus of a chamor, or in essence, petor chamor, v'hadetani ubar parato? And then afterwards it speaks about a bechor behemah Torah. L'nei bereisha ubar parato, t'kdusha t'gufu. It makes more sense to put bechor behemah Torah in the beginning, because it has a higher level of kedusha. It has inherent kedusha, it has kedusha t'guf, which results in the fact that a kohen and levi are also chayavim in it. And then afterwards speak about a petar chamor where there's a monetary kedusha, which is a lower form of kedusha. In terms of order, you would have put bechor be'emah Torah first, and then petar chamor. Aside from the fact that you would also probably do it because there are more bechorot from be'emot Torah than there is for the unique case of petar chamor, as well as the fact that that's the ikar din of bechors with be'emah Torah. A petar chamor is just a special din with regards to a chamor. So Amrei Bamarova in Eretz Yisrael, they answered the following. Ibai Tema, one possibility is, either the Chaviva Leik and the Rabbi Chanina, because it's unique, special, like we saw from Rabbi Chanina, who told us in the first perek, as to why it is that the Chamorim have a din of Peter Chamor. Why doesn't any other Beimat Be'ah have a din of Bechor? Only a Peter Chamor has it. That's because of the unique aspect of Chamor, which we spoke about in the introduction to the Masechta, as well as on Dav Pei, that the Chamor was used by Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, and for that reason, the Chamor has a unique standing in terms of being a Peter Chamor. So because of that unique standing, or that drasha, it was Chaviv, it was beloved. Given that, it was put first. We have that reason brought a number of times when it deals with the issues of whether a din is d'oraita or a din d'rabbanan. You would expect the Mishnah to address the din d'oraita first and not the din d'rabbanan. The Gemara many times says it put the din d'rabbanan first because chavivale, it was beloved to them, meaning that the din d'rabbanan or the droshom d'rabbanan is something that is beloved, exciting. They quote the pasuk in Shira Shirim, ki tovim dodecha miyayin, that even the words of the Chachamim are on a higher level than Yena Shel Torah, and for that reason, they give it priority. And similarly over here, they gave priority to this drusha as to why it is that the Chamor is unique as opposed to any other Behemat Me'ah. And for that reason, it was brought first because of that unique standing of it. Vibay Tema, and the other possibility is, I did the Zutrin Mile, the Behemat Me'ah, since the halachot of Peter Chamor are limited, Pasik Vishadila, it took care of it first and got it out of the way. And then it deals with the halachot of Behemat Torah, which are going to consume the next number of prakim. Peter Chamor is all taken care of within one perek, so they dealt with that first. And then afterwards they moved on to items that have much more detail involved, and so they took care of Peter Chamor first. For one of those two reasons, or even for both of those reasons, Peter Chamor was addressed first in the Mishnah, even though logically you would have believed that Behemat Torah would have been the first item to be on the agenda of dealing with Bechor. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Hoshaya, Yisrael Shenatan Ma'ot Lo'Oved Kochavim Bebemto, a Jew who purchases from an Oved Kochavim an animal with monies, B'dinehem, in their halachot, Afa Pi Shalom Mashach, even though he didn't make a kinyan, kana, the kinyan works, v'chayevet b'bechorah, and therefore you are responsible for the din of bechorah here, because it is yours. Ovi kochavim shenatan ma'ot Yisrael, and vice versa. The non-Jew paid the Yisrael, b'bemto, to purchase the animal, b'dinehem, in their dinim, afo b'shalom ashach, again, even though there was no kinyan mishicha, kana, it works, upator mina bechorah. And then there is no responsibility for the Bechorah, because now the Goy owns it and not the Jew. So what you see from this statement of Hoshaya is that the primary Kinyan that is utilized by the Goy, or create the transaction or finalize the transaction, is Ma'ot. It happens to be that it is a Machloket Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. We'll actually get to it on the second half of today's daf, as to what is the primary Kinyan for Israel. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ot Konot Midivrei Torah. The primary kinyan for Yisrael is ma'ot, and then we, midrabanan, added on a kinyan mishicha to finalize it, because of a gzeira that the buyer will not be caught in a position whereby he buys or purchases something and it's still in the possession of the seller, and then the seller's house or property catches fire, and the seller says, it's not mine anymore, I don't care about it. For that reason, they instituted a kinyan mishicha. The other Reish Lakish believes that the primary kinyan Mina Torah for a Jew is Kinyan Mishicha, that's Midoraita. Whatever is true of Yisrael is not true of the Goy. That is because the Pasuk uses the word Amitecha, as we're going to see. That is true of your friend, your peer, your fellow Jew. That's the mechanism that you use. That means for the Goy, you don't use that mechanism. That means if you believe that the Ikar mechanism for a Jew is Kinyan Mishicha, that means you think that the Ikar mechanism for the Goy is Ma'ot, and vice versa. If you think the primary mechanism for the Jew is Ma'ot, then you think that the primary Kinyan for the Goy is Mishicha. So here, we're saying that for the Goy, the primary Kinyan is Ma'ot, which means that for a Jew, the primary Kinyan is a Mishicha, and that is the Shitat Reish Lakish. And that's what we see here, that Rabbi Hoshaya's din is being quoted by Reish Lakish. This is the Shitat Reish Lakish, that the Jew uses Mishicha, The goy uses ma'ot. Bali Tosafot asks, why can't you suggest other forms of kinyan? Why is it ma'ot and mishicha? The Bali Tosafot have this position, which is that ma'ot and mishicha are the primary types of kinyanim. They are the normal kinyanim that are used by everyone. Had you had no Torah, had you had no information, those are the kinyanim that are acceptable and would have been used by people. Until the Torah was mechadesh, that you could use other forms of kinyanim, that was a societal norm. That either money or mishicha were the kinyanim. Tosfot says, yesh lomar the shnei kinyanim, alalu havyin mitzuin, they're the most common kinyanim, the shaykhin zebe mocher v'zeb lokeach, and each one of them applies either to the seller or the buyer, sheze notei ma'ot, v'zeb moshech etzol ha'chefetz. That's the whole idea of a transaction. One gives money, the other one takes the chefetz. So every transaction is going to involve an exchange of value, and a taking of some sort of property, they accept the kinyan mishicha. And since that is true of every transaction, that's why those are the primary kinyanim that we would associate with the Jew or the non-Jew in these situations. This does lead to machloket rishonim as to whether the goy has the ability to use a kinyan chalipin. You can see that in the Shikim Mekubetzot Gimel, where he brings evidence from here that maybe there is no kinyan chalipin by a goy. The Reed disagrees and says there is kinyan chalipin, but the sugya here is only dealing with the kinyanim that are the major or primary kinyanim in a Torah. Meaning the same way that we're explaining that the reason that there's only kesef and mishicha available here to discuss is because they are primary kinyanim. So too, that's why the Gemara here ignores chalipin. And just like by a Jew, chalipin is also an option and not mentioned here, so too by a non-Jew, chalipin is an option even though it's not mentioned here. And therefore, if you're speaking about primary kinyanim means either mishicha or ma'ot, and therefore if a Jew has one of them, the goy is going to have the other based on the psukim. Again, we'll see this later in today's daf. So now, we're speaking obviously within Reish Lakish Shita, which is that kinyan mishicha works for a Jew, kinyan ma'ot works for a goy. The other thing to notice, it says here, b'dinehem. The way that Rashi reads dinehem, dayaninan le b'dinehem. We adjudicate it based on their dinim. So now Rashi says that that's an automatic pol yotzei from the fact that you transacted with the goy. Since you didn't specify otherwise and you transacted with the goy, it's going to be governed b'dinehem. Dinehem doesn't mean their laws. It means what is the normal kinyan for a goy will dictate in this case. Whatever the Torah prescribes for a goy, that's what will dictate in this case. And you can see that more explicitly in the Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, "Kol tzcharash yesh ovei kochavim be'emtza." Any transaction in which a goy is involved, by the mezal akar dino, then we follow their prescription for dealing with things, bazlin and batzar dinehem, and we follow the Torah's rules with regards to transactions with a non-Jew. But the Tosafot in Baba Batra Nundalat Amibet says b'dinehem means that you made an explicit t'nai that it would be under the auspices of their law. Now, the implications of that are significant because, according to the Bali Tosafot, if you didn't specify, then the din would be dinei Yisrael by default, not dinehem. Because according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom, the default situation would be dinehem, even if you didn't specify that it is b'dinehem. That's the way it works when there's a goy involved. And then the Torah's prescribed din is in force. But that would be a big nafkamina as to whether you think this is just a pol yotze result of a transaction with the goy, whether you think this is a condition that you make in the transaction. That also does open up the possibility of making any condition that you want in a transaction, which means that you can premise your transaction with a goy or even a fellow Jew upon whatever conditions that you want. The Torah prescribes what is the default situation, but the Torah does not dictate to you that these are the only mechanisms for kinyanim. That means that you can use another form of kinyan if you agree between the parties to use such a kinyan or to use such a gemir at the dot. How far that goes is a machloket in the achronim. The machloket, the Tzod HaChoshen and the Shach in Choshen Mishpat Kuf Tzadi Chet, where they argue as to whether you can create your own transaction as long as there's some model in a lacha for it. That's the view of the Tzod HaChoshen, or whether you can not create new kinyanim or kinyanim that the Torah does not approve of. And that's the view of the Shach. The Chazon Ish says that you can't create kinyanim or establish that kinyanim that the Torah does not approve of to be a kinyan, the only right you have as a transactor is to be mochel on your rights. And therefore, what you're saying when you say I'm going to be b'dinei Yisrael doesn't change the mechanism or the method by which you're going to transact. All it changes is your rights in court to enforce that right that you normally have. By saying that you're going to be done, either b'dinei Ovdei Kochavim or b'dinei Yisrael or whatever other mechanism, you're saying is I'm waiving my rights that were granted to me by the Torah. And that's the only power that you have. You don't have a power to create new kinyanim. You have a power to waive rights the Torah gave you. So now the Gemara says, Amar Mar. The Gemara is going to go back and discuss each of the two statements that were made by Rabbi Oshaya. One is, Amar Mar, Yisrael Shenatan Ma'ot Ovi Kochavim Dineim. A Jew gave monies to Ovi Kochavim based on their dinim. Afa Pi Shelo Mashach. Even though he had no kinyan mishikha, kana. There is a kinyan v'chayevet v'bechora. My b'dinehem. What does it mean in their laws? Inei b'dinehem. If you say in their laws, d'gufei da'ati b'kal v'chomer, meaning that we learn from that which is true by their guf, we learn to their mamon. Im gufei kanilei Yisrael b'kesef, a Jew can acquire the goy himself, ayudei kesef, tichtiv l'reshet achuza. When it's speaking about an eved kanani, they are passed down to the generations as property. And therefore, just like a property can be acquired in one of these three methods, so too, the Eved Kenani can be acquired b'kesef. It's interesting, obviously, the problem here is kesef. What about shtar b'chazaka? What happened, which do work by an Eved Kenani? But nevertheless, the kal v'chomer would be, mimono lo koshekenu. Isn't it true then, if you can acquire the goy himself, then certainly you can acquire his property in the same method or process by which you do it for his goof. It says, imtein, afilu b'shtar v'chazaka nami. So that's what Gemara points out, that if you say that, then kesef should not be the only mechanism for acquiring his property. You should also be able to do it b'shtar v'chazaka. Ve'od. And in addition to that, Yisrael mi'Yisrael yochichu. A Jew-to-Jew transaction will prove otherwise. The gufei konilei b'kesef. You can purchase an eved ivri. You can purchase him with money. There is a kinyan kesef. Mimono b'mishikha. On the other hand, l'shitat reish lakish, the primary transaction or method for transactions between a Jew and a Jew is a kinyan mishikha. So you see, even when the guf is nikna yidei kesef, the mamon can have a different method of kinyan. Doesn't mean just because kesef works to acquire the individual, that his money can be acquired in the same method. Or in essence, every object and every situation is unique. You can't extrapolate from one to the other. El Amar Abaye b'dinehem. What does it mean b'dinehem? Shepaska lahem Torah. It is the din that the Torah determined for the goy. O kana miyara mitecha. The pasuk says with regards to kinyan, v'chitim kru mimkar la amitecha. O kano miyada mitecha. Al tonu ish et achiv. So there we make a diuk. Miyada mitecha dimi mishicha. That from your friend, you acquire through Mishikha. Hamiyad Oved Kochavim B'Kesef. Therefore, the alternative that is offered through the Goy is a Kinyan Kesef. Now, the Drasha in Baba Metzia derives from the fact that it says, V'chim Timka Mikala Mitecha, Akono Miyad Amitecha. Miyad means, Ezu Kinyan Sholech Miyad Liyad. What is a Kinyan that goes hand to hand? That is Mishikha. So that Kinyan is only true B'Amitecha, if you're a fellow Jew. So that means that that's true for your fellow Jew. It doesn't work for the goy. Then what are you left with for the goy? Kinyan kesef. That's what we said in Tosafot before. There are two primary kinyanim, mishikha and kesef. And therefore, your other alternative, if you can't use kinyan mishikha, is kinyan kesef. Ve'ema miyadu kekavim klal klal lo. Well, as you say that you can have a kinyan from a Jew through mishikha, but you can't have a kinyan with an ovei kekavim at all. Now, obviously, that can't mean that you can't transact with the goy. The Torah is not going to prescribe such an outcome that you have no way to have commercial transactions with the goy. So Rashi explains over here, klalo klalo, ad shetavo lirshuto shel Yisrael, lo koni. Until it reaches the possession of the Yisrael, you wouldn't have a kinyan. Meaning that kinyanim would not work. The only way, or the only method that you would have, is reaching your possession. Not that you have a kinyan chatzer, but meaning that once it reaches or comes into your possession, then the transaction is done. Just giving money or doing a kinyan mishikha would not suffice. When it's in your property, when it's under your auspices, in your ownership, then the transaction is complete. You don't have a completion of a transaction, not through paying of money, not through a kinyan mishicha. Only when you possess the actual item will it be that you have a din of the transaction closing. So that's what it means, klahu klalo. There'll be no form of kinyan that works for a goy. Amrei lo saka datchot, you can't say that. Kal v'chomer hu, because it's a kal v'chomer. Im gufo koneh, b'mano lo koshekin. If you're able to acquire the goy himself, which we already proved, that you can koneh ein eved kenani, b'kesef shtar v'chazakah, then certainly you can acquire his property. It would be counterintuitive to say that you can acquire the goy, but you can't acquire something that is subordinate to him, which is his own possessions, that you couldn't acquire those. So obviously there has to be a mechanism or a method for acquiring his property. Beima, miyad okuchavim, adiika tarte. So let's say by the okuchavim you need both. By the Jew, kinyan mishicha is enough. By the goy you need mishicha and ma'ot. Amrei v'lav kavachomeru. Again, it's a kavachomer. Gufo b'achat, memono b'shtayim. It'll be harder to acquire his possessions than it will be to acquire him. If you can acquire the goy himself through kesef, then certainly you can acquire the goy's property through a single kinyan and not have to have two kinyanim in order to do such. Ve'ema, o baha. Maybe you have either option. By the Jew, you have to use a kinyan mishicha. By the goy, you can either use a mishicha or ma'ot. Dumi adamitecha. It's similar to the din of the Jew. Mami techa bechada, just like by the Jew, there's only one kinyan that works and only one that is necessary. Avoid kochvim nami bechada, there's only one that works and only one that is necessary. Amamar. So now we go to the second statement of Rabbi Shaya. Avoid kochvim shenatan ma'ot Israel. If you have a avoid kochvim that gave money to Israel, bebem tov b'dineim, avol pishalom hashach, even though there's no kinyan mishika, kana upator min abechora. The Kenyan moves the animal to the goy, and then there's no din of bechora. My bedinehem. Again, what does it mean, bedinehem? Ilim bedinehem de gufei. Again, you're going to say it's because the way the Oved Kochavim acquires a Jew. Mishum da'ati b'kavachomer. Im gufo de Yisrael kanilei. If a Jew can be acquired by a non-Jew, bekesef, through monies, dechte bekesef miknato, through the monies of his acquisition, which is speaking about an Eved Ivri. And it says there, if you come to redeem a Jew who had to sell himself to a non-Jew, it says in Vayikra Chavei, Pasuk Nun Nun Aleph, V'chishavim Koneu, you calculate with the purchaser, Mishnat Himachro Lo, Achnat Yovel, from the time that you sold to him until the Yovel, V'ya Kesef Mimkaro, V'mispar Shanim, K'mei Sachir Yeimo. So then obviously the price that he paid for the Jew is based on the number of years left until the Yovel. So you spread the price and look at it as a yearly lease that he bought the Jew for. And then, im od rabot b'shanim lefiem yeshiv gulato mikesef miknato. Then you give back the remaining money from the original purchase price. So say, for instance, there were 20 years left of the Yovel, and he paid $20 or 20 shekel. That means that each year is worth a dollar worth of shekel. And then if he worked half that time already, 10 years later, the amount of money you'd have to give to the goy to buy him out is 10 shekel or $10, because that's the remaining value that's there. But you see that what you're doing is you're defeasing the purchase price across the number of years left to the Yovel, but that means that the mechanism for acquiring the Jew in the origin was kesef miknato. The purchase price was monies that he gave. And that means that the goy was successful at acquiring a Jew through kesef miknato, through monies. So Mimanolo Koshkin, if the goy can acquire a Jew himself through a monetary transaction, certainly he should be able to acquire the Jew's property in that way, where it says, Yisrael Misrael Yochichu, that we can disprove that from the fact that Jews' interactions don't work that way. The gufo kani bekesef, that the goof of a Jew from another Jew can be purchased through monies, Mimano b'mishicha, yet when it comes to his monies, his property, you can only do it through a kinyan mishicha. So you see, even if the goof is called nikne ayyadei mamono, doesn't mean that the property can be acquired that way. There might be different kinyanim for each type or class of property or individual that you're trying to acquire. Amar Abayi b'dinehem, Abayi again says, dinehem shepaska lehem Torah. This is the din that the Torah gave. It says, v'chitim kuru mimkar lamitecha. It's the first half of the pasuk. We said, okano miyad amitecha. When you acquire from a Jew, then you have to use a kinyan yad, which is mishicha. The first half of the pasuk is hitim b'chua mimkar lamitecha. When you sell it to a fellow Jew, then you sell it through kinyan mishicha. Lamitecha mimishicha halovei kochavim b'kesef. But that means that only Jew selling to another Jew is a kinyan mishicha effective. But to sell to a non-Jew, only a kinyan kesef will be affected because he's not amitecha. Amitecha comes to tell you this is a unique kinyan, the mishicha, for Jews. That means for non-Jews, the only kinyan available is a kinyan kesef. Let's say that a Jew has a kinyan mishicha, you have no kinyan at all. Similar to what we said before, it doesn't mean there's no mechanism for a transaction. It just means there's no kinyan. It has to get to its possession in order for it to be a completed transaction. Amrei lav kal v'chomeru. Again, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Im gufo kana mimono lo koshukein. If there's a method for acquiring a Jew by the non-Jew, then certainly the non-Jew has an ability to acquire his property if he can acquire the Jew himself. Once again, maybe for the Obi Kuchavim you need both. So for a Jew to acquire from another Jew, you just need a kinyan mishicha. On the other hand, to sell to a goy, the goy will require both a kinyan mishicha and a kinyan ma'ot. Lav kavachomer, again, it's a kavachomer. Gufo be'achad v'mono b'shtayim. He can acquire the Jew himself with one kinyan and a kinyan kesef. He's going to have to then, for that which is subordinate to him, in his property, he's going to acquire two kinyanim. Doesn't make sense. Vema obaha baha. Again, why don't you say that the goy has available to him the kinyan, mishicha, or kesef to acquire, whereas for Jews, it's only mishicha. Again, similar to a Jew. Ma mitecha bachat. Just like amitecha is only with one kinyan. Apovi kuchavim nami bachat. So to a non-Jew, it's only with one form of kinyan. Just like the Jew can sell to a fellow Jew or purchase from a fellow Jew with a kinyan mishicha. The goy too only needs one form of kinyan to acquire from the Jew. And that'll be the kinyan kesef that is made available to him because he's not amitecha, so he doesn't have access to mishicha. The only thing he has access to is kesef. Amrei, ule ameimar. According to ameimar, damar mishicha ba'ovei kuchavim koneh. That an ovei kuchavim can use a kinyan mishicha. Seemingly, kinyan mishicha, yes. Not kinyan ma'ot. So this goes against everything we established until this point. The whole discussion before assumed that the mechanism or the kinyan available to a goy is kinyan ma'ot. Again, that's the shita to Reish Lakish, that the kinyan available to a Jew is mishicha, which is amitecha. That means that which is left over or available to the goy is a kinyan kesef. But Meimar says just the opposite. The only kinyan available to a goy is a kinyan mishicha, and not kinyan ma'ot. So now, hanicha is savar laki Rabbi Yochanan. This is what we discussed earlier, the makoga Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, it makes a lot of sense. Damar, Dvar Torah, Ma'ot Konot. The main kinyan that works for Jews is a kinyan kesef. Mishicha, lo kanyo. Mishicha doesn't work. And mishicha is only a din derabonon, an institution midderabanan that was added for Jews. Ahani lamitecha. Then amitecha helps you to say lamitecha bekesef, lo bekukavim bemishicha. Because then the amitecha does just the opposite of what he did until now. If for a Jew, ma'ot works, then for the goy it doesn't work. The only kinyan left over is a kinyan mishicha. For Jews, kinyan ma'ot. For non-Jews, kinyan mishicha. So if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then a Meimar's position is understandable. Now, over here, the Balei Tosafot deal with the issue as to where do you know that Dvar Torah ma'ot konot? Where do you know that for a Jew, it is ma'ot that work? We said before for Reish Lakish, the fact that it says, O kono mi yada mitecha, Dvar ha'niknim mi yada yad. Something that's done hand-to-hand, which is a kinyan mishicha. That's found in the Pasuk. Where do you find a kinyan ma'ot for Jews according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rashi says, Dichtiv v'hektish. By hektish it says, V'natana kesef v'kam lo. That if you give the money, there is a change in ownership. And we will learn hejot from hektish. Lay people, we learn from hektish. If by hektish kinyan ma'ot works, then certainly by hejot, the kinyan ma'ot should work. So Tosafot does not like that because we find that there are distinctions or differences between kinyan hektesh and kinyan ma'ot. In addition, for Reish Lakish, coming up in a second, who says that for a Jew, kinyan mishicha is the primary option. So we saw the whole first Amud was using that, that for a Jew, the primary option is a mishicha. Then if you learn it from hektesh, for Reish Lakish, then you have a source for both kinyanim. You have a source for kinyan mishicha from the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Kafei, and then you have a source for kinyan ma'ot from hektesh. That means according to Reish Lakish, for Jews, either one should work. Whether it's mishicha because of the pasuk of kano miyad, or kinyan kesef should work because of hektesh. That's the case, then Reish Lakish would say either kinyan is available to you, and we don't find that in the shita of Reish Lakish. V'tarid sarav Rabbi Yehuda bar Natan, de mishicha lo sheikha v'hektesh. that Mishicha doesn't apply by Ekdesh, Toheicha de'ite be'gazah de'rachmana ite. Because wherever it is in the world, that's God's possession. So you don't need a kinyan Mishicha when something's out of your possession, you try to bring it into your possession. For God, everything's in his possession, so for Ekdesh, you don't need a kinyan Mishicha. And for that reason, kinyan kesef applies by Ekdesh and not by Hejot. The Hejot efshar b'mishicha bo yeh kinyan acher. Since for a Hejot, a kinyan mishicha is available and the most prevalent, that's the one we're going to be using. So that's how he answers on behalf of Rashi to explain why Hekdesh, even if it teaches you kinyan kesef, that won't affect Reish Lakish's din. Because according to Reish Lakish, Mashiach is available to the Jew, which isn't available to Hekdesh, because by Hekdesh, Kinyan Mashiach is not relevant. So therefore, by the Jew, it means Mashiach alone. Kinyan Kesef by the Hekdesh is unique to Hekdesh, because they don't have a Kinyan Mashiach. But for the Jew, or the layperson that does have that, then Kinyan Mashiach will be the only Kinyan. So that's Rashi's explanation for the source of Kinyan Ma'ot. The nearer the Re, the Mikra Nopik, Leish Shapir. He learns it out of the Pasuk, Tashinan Miyad Amitecha. So that is another way to deal with Rashi's issue, which is to say that just like the Miyad Amitecha teaches you that there's a Kinyan Mishicha by the Jew, which means that by the Goy, there's a Kinyan Ma'ot, and just like the Goy, there's only Kinyan Ma'ot, not Kinyan Mishicha. So too, for the Jew, there's Kinyan Mishicha and not Kinyan Ma'ot, even though Hekdesh might have taught you otherwise. So that's the way to deal with Rashi's position. In that same Gemara in Bava Metzia, Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rif bring the source for the fact that Ma'ot Konot from our Gemara over here as a Kav HaChomer. If you can be Koneh a group of Israel through Ma'ot, Koshken, then you can be Koneh Mamono. The Ramban criticizes that and says, what are you talking about? The Gemara here rejected that Kav HaChomer. That Kav HaChomer doesn't stand the Maskana because the fact that we show, we demonstrate that the two are not necessarily correlated. And therefore, that can't be the source. But then, Va'od Meferish Rabbeinu Taimah de Rabbi Yochanan. So then, the Re also explains that the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan might be the following. Konot mi gufei dekra. De o kana miyad amitecha, de stam kinyan dekra, bima'ot. So the kana miyad amitecha teaches you, just like for Reish Lakish, it teaches you konem miyad, davar nikne miyad yad, which is kinyan mishicha. For Rabbi Yochanan, it actually teaches you that it's kinyan ma'ot. Because the default Kenyan in the Torah is Ma'ot. Kedichtiv, like it says in Yirmiyahu, Sadot b'kesef yiknu, uchtiv b'kesef miknato. So we see that the word kesef appears all the time in terms of transactions. So the default transaction, if it doesn't specify otherwise, it's going to be kesef. And therefore, od kanomi yadamitecha means, you did a Kenyan, the normal Kenyan. What's normal Kenyan? Kesef. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan will learn that Ma'ot kanot me divrei Torah. So now, so far, a Maimar's position works well within the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Ela he saver like Reish Lakish. If he holds like Reish Lakish, Damar Mishicha mifureshit min haTorah, that Mishicha works min haTorah for a Jew, la mitecha b'mishicha, loed kochavim b'mishicha, then how does that work? How exactly does the drasha work? Oh, for an amitecha, kinyan mishicha, and for an obe kochavim, kinyan mishicha, because according to Maimar, kinyan mishicha works for a goy. But it says, la mitecha, lomali. Then what do I need Amitecha for over there? It's not excluding anything. It's telling you that a Goy is Mishicha and a Jew is Mishicha. What do I need Amitecha for? Amre, Amitecha tamach zero na'a, via tamach zero na'a leknani. The answer will be the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chim timkum imkal Amitecha, okanomi Amitecha, al tonu ish etachim. Don't overcharge or undercharge each other, meaning that you have to have a fair price transaction. You can't engage in una'a, in overcharging. What we'll say is that the Amitecha tells you that that's only true by a Jew. That's not true by a non-Jew. You have to ask here, when it says there's no din of Ona, does that mean that Ona doesn't apply at all? Does that mean that there is an Iser of Ona, just there's no refunding of the Ona, which means that don't do this, but if you do it, you're not going to have to return it. Whereas for a Jew to a Jew, if you do this, it's going to render the transaction invalid and you have to return the money, or if it goes off over a certain threshold, it'll actually nullify the transaction. But for a Goy or for Hekdesh, you're still restricted in Ona'ah. This actually comes up with regards to the Gemara's statement in Bava Metzia and other places in Shas, in Ona'ah leKarkot. There's no din of Ona'ah by Karkot. You can charge whatever it is that you want for Karkot. So that can be read in one of two ways. That can mean that there is no din at all of ona'ah by karkol. It means whatever you charge is the price because land has no value. It's all in the eye of the beholder and in the demand, location, all those factors. And therefore, there's no din of ona'ah. It's machloket Rashi in the Baalei Tosafot. He says, is there any limit? Rashi says there's no limit. Baalei Tosafot, based on the Yisham, he says there's a limit of 50%. That would be the highest demand you could charge. But then there's a separate issue, which the Ramban discusses, is maybe when we say in ona'ah the karkot means that there is no requirement to return the monies, but there still might be an isur ona'ah associated with karkot. You might be in violation of the isur, but it won't nullify the transaction. Or, do we say in ona'ah but karkot means ona'ah is not shayach at all to karkot, there's no din or no isur of ona'ah. And you can ask the same question over here. When we say in ona'ah lektesh, in ona'ah the kanani, does that mean it doesn't apply at all? It's not even relevant? Or does that mean that the isur still exists, but you don't have to refund it, or you don't have to nullify the transaction based on it? The Rashash points out from the language here, iatam zero na'ah the kanani, that means that you're not supposed to do it, but if it happens to have happened, then you don't have to return it. Not that we allow you to lechatchila charge ona'ah. It just means that if ona'ah was charged, there's an obligation to return that ona'ah. And that would be obviously an important statement, which is that you would be then bound not to overcharge or undercharge the goy, but the same isur, it just won't abrogate the transaction if it's found to have ona'ah in it. Likanani me'al tonu ishet achiv nafka. Wait a minute, you don't need Amitecha to teach you that. The latter half of the puzzle says, ta'al tonu ishet achiv. Ishet achiv means you and your fellow Jew, does not include a goy. Where it says, hachad likanani v'chad me'ekdesh. I need one of them to tell me ona'ah does not apply by ekdesh. One of them to tell me that ona'ah does not apply by a goy. It's riche. And I need both. Ikutav Rachman Achad had only written one. Hava mina l'knani u'dein lo ona'ah. When it comes to knani, there's no ona'ah. Aval hektesh, yesh lo ona'ah. By hektesh, there will be a din of ona'ah. Kamash malon, that is not the case. That both by the hektesh and by a goy, there's no issue of ona'ah. Where it says, anicha l'man damar gzei lo asur. The one who says that stealing from a goy is asur, I know this to crawl the mishrei ona'ah. That's why you have to have a pasuk that says ona'ah is okay. So from this perspective, it sounds like there would be a restriction of zela, but no restriction of ona'ah, because it would be mishrei. Here would be matir ona'ah. Makes it sound like that you would be allowed to do this. There'd be no isur involved. Although you could read it, meaning that zela is asur, and you'd have to return it, whereas mishrei ona'ah is, it's asur, but you don't have to return it. Ela yisavar la kimand amar gzelo shel kanani mutar. If you believe that stealing from a kanani is mutar, ona'ah miboi, then overcharging, you have to tell me. If you can steal outright, then obviously you can overcharge. Now, this is based on a machloket, as Rashi says, whether gezel shel kanani is asur in the Gemara in Baba Kama in Perikozel Batra. Tosfot over here is much more circumspect about that. He doesn't like the fact that you would have such a position in Shas of being allowed to steal from a kanani. Theft is such a basic or natural law that you would expect everyone to be bound by such a law of not stealing. And therefore, the Baalei Tosafot say, "V'kulah shmaita da'alta muchach da'asur." Everything that's there in Baba Kama says that gezel kanani is asur. So then, what's the machloket over there? V'afkat halvato pligay. The only machloket is whether you can try to get out of repaying a debt, which means that if you owe money, can you somehow walk away from it, do something that allows you to get out of your obligation to pay without it being a problem of gezel. So Tosafot first of all says outright gezel is not even discussed by the Gemara. Everybody agrees outright gezel is problematic. The only discussed by the Gemara is hafkat halvato, and then Tosafot brings other Gemaras that seem to indicate that gezel haknani is mutar legamre, according to some opinions. And then he says, if that is true, yesh lamar heicha de'ika chilul Hashem v'day asur. If there's going to be a chilul Hashem, then it's v'day asur. V'chish sharit. And where they were matir, heicha de'itle l'ishtimute. In a case when you can wiggle your way out of it, because zal b'menu ba'alila. He did it with an excuse or some backhanded manner. O b'kama iman yanim. Or other different mechanisms that you could do it. So, Tosafot over here is unwilling to say that straight out gezel is mutar. If he's going to permit gezel, it's either hafkat halvato, like the Gemara of Baba Kama, or in the other places where it seems to be even broader, it's only in cases where it's not outright an obvious gezel. It's a case where basically you're not going to get caught, or you're not going to be found out. Because if there's a chilul Hashem involved in it, that chilul Hashem is so great it would override other considerations, even if you say technically it is mutar. And since in 99.9% of the cases, you probably will get caught eventually, or somebody will become known to them, then it makes it basically that Gezel HaGoy or Gezel HaKnani is a sewer because of Chilul Hashem. And so that would be the primary consideration in all of these matters. And that is brought, I always quote the Smag that says that when it comes to Hashemet Aveda, the Torah says that Hashemet Aveda only applies to a fellow Jew. Which makes sense. We have a club, and that club says that when you find something, you're going to return it to its owner. So now normally the rules of finding slaves are finders keepers. And so that's the general principle by the whole world works by. We agree as Jews that we're going to do a little more than that and we're going to give it back. So we say that that's true for a Jew. It's not true for a non-Jew. He writes over there that even though it's no obligation to give back an Aveda to a non-Jew, one should give back an Aveda to a non-Jew. And that is because for the many years that we've been in Gola, and then we want Hashem to bring us the Gula, we want when Hashem brings the Gula and he chooses the Jewish people to redeem, we want other people to look up and say, I know why he picked the Jews to redeem them, because look at how they behave. And that is that if we do things that make the Goyim wonder about our honesty and our integrity, then they're going to say, what, Hashem picked a bunch of thieves for his chosen people? We want them to think of us as people that are upstanding, above and beyond the law, and do more than most people would do. He says, for that reason, we should do Hashemet Aveda to a Goy, so that they understand the type of integrity by which we live, and why Hashem would choose us as his nation. And he doesn't say this, but that would be to change the meaning of the word Jew, which is a verb in the dictionary, which means to cheat. And you don't want to have the word Jew associated with cheating, you want to have the word Jew associated with honesty and integrity. And so for that reason, he says that even if you want to say there's technicalities in the law that allow you to not return to a goy, or technicalities in the law that say that you can have hafkadah avado, you want to go out of your way to do just the opposite to demonstrate our honesty and integrity. So that's a very important concept and something that we always have to take to heart. In addition, the Me'iri in all these places, which is quoted by the Shita Mikubetz and other places in Baba Kama, says that it very specifically says over here, Knani. Now, Knani were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they were not Mugdar in basic laws. They cheated, they stole, they lied, they performed Arayot. That's what we're reading in this week's Parsha, that they don't do like the Knani and the Mitzrim because they're involved in these terrible behaviors. So he says that our non-Jews that we live amongst are not like the Knani. They have laws, they have civil laws, they act towards each other with integrity. If that's the case, then there's no right either to say that when you damage them, you're going to be patur, or when you steal from them, that it's not a problem. That's only true, and the Gemara specifies, by a Kanani. It's not true of non-Jews in general, and therefore none of this would apply to the non-Jews that we live amongst today, unless you're dealing with a group of people who don't abide by basic civil laws, have a code of ethics, guides their morality, and therefore none of these dinim are extrapolable from what we see in the Gemara to our interactions today. It's always hard to know whether the Me'iri wrote that because the censors were looking at the Gemara, and so he was responding to a criticism, or he wrote it because he really believed it. It's very hard to know which one. You think maybe it's because he really believed it, but it's always possible that the Me'iri wrote that in defense of what's being said in the Gemara, so people don't look in the Gemara and say, you're biased against non-Jews. Shita Mikubetz only appears twice in Baba Kama, and it only appears to bring that Me'iri. So you wonder if it was put in there in order to defend the position of the Gemara against the criticism of the non-Jews or the censors. All right, so now the Gemara says, so according to the one who says that Gezel HaKnani is mutar, then you won't need ona'ah to be permitted. If you say that Gezel HaKnani is a sur, then you need ona'ah to be permitted. Now I understand why you need achiv, I need amitecha. But if you say that the Gezel is mutar, you don't need a din of ona'ah, then what are you going to do? So Amre, Yisavar lo Kimanda Mark Zelo Mutar, if a Memer holds like the one who says that Gezel HaKnani is Mutar, Al Korkachak Rabbi Yochanan Svirle, then he has to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Reish Lakish, there would be no explanation for the word Amitecha then. There's no explanation for the word Amitecha, he can't hold like Reish Lakish. So if he holds like Reish Lakish, it could only be that he holds like Reish Lakish if he also holds that Gezel HaKnani is a sur. If he holds that Gezel HaKnani is mutar, then he'll have to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Meitevei. So now we have a question. Halokeach grutaot min ha'oveg kochavim. Someone who purchases ingot from an oveg kochavim, metal from an oveg kochavim, u'matzaben avodat kochavim. And then in this pile of inventory that he bought from him, he finds avodah zorah that's there. Imach lo natan ma'ot mashach. If he has yet to pay cash, but there was a kinyan mishicha, yachzir. He can undo the transaction. He can give the avodat zorah back to the goy. Because it never came into the possession of the Jew. Since the Jew didn't own it, doesn't have a problem that a avodah zorah owned by a Jew is permanently a problem and cannot be released because you can't get hanah from the avodah zorah. So if it came into your possession, you wouldn't be able to return it. But since it didn't come into your possession, it's still the goy's and you can leave it with the goy and not pay for it. So in that case, you can return the avodah zorah, get your money back on the parts that are avodah zorah. Because there was only a kinyan mishicha, not a kinyan ma'ot. That sounds exactly like what we said at the beginning of the daf today, not the sheet of a meimar. A meimar says mishicha works for a goy. Here you have a kinyan mishicha, and yet it's not a finalized transaction. V'imishenatan ma'ot, mashach. On the other hand, if he already gave money, and there was a kinyan mishicha, yoli chana'a liyam ha'melach. Then you have to, here, hana'a would usually mean the value, or the equipment value. Here would mean the avodah zarah itself. You would take and dump in a Yam HaMelech because there's no solution. The second half of the statement over here says that he gave money and he did a Kinyan Mishicha. Which makes it sound from the second half here that a Kinyan Mishicha is essential, that Natira Ma'ot would not have been enough. Biyamart Ma'ot Konot. If you hold like the position that we brought from Reish Lakish before, that Ma'ot are Konot, Mishicha, Lomali. Why do you need the Kinyan Mishicha at all? Or what the Gemara is trying to prove from here is that Kinyan Mishicha is the method for a Goy. Now, the problem is, as I pointed out, is that from the ratio, it sounds like ma'ot is the mechanism of kinyan. That's because when you did mishicha, it didn't work at all. The second statement on the seifa seems to indicate that ma'ot don't work. That's why you need a kinyan mishicha on top of them, it seems to prove. Gemara ignores the ratio and just says, oh, look, you see, ma'ot don't work because you need a kinyan mishicha. It should have said, the ratio says the mishicha doesn't work and you need ma'ot. It doesn't do that. So Tosfot says over here, tema. The Perek Batra of Azara, Mighty Ach Breita, Lemedak Ipcha Mereisha, brings the same Breita, and comes to the opposite conclusion, that Mishicha is not working here, because Mishicha and the Reisha doesn't suffice. So Tosfot says, Omeri, that Maksha Sover Hacha Vahotam, the Tarvayu Beinan, Biknani, that the questioner believes you need both. And that's why, in the Reisha, when you only did Kinyi Mishicha, it wasn't enough. And in the Sefer, when you did Kinyi Ma'ot, it wasn't enough. You need Ma'ot and Mishicha in order for it to work. And therefore, the question would be actually on both positions, both on the position that says Mishicha works or on the position that Ma'ot works. In that case, both of those are problematic because the Braita seems to indicate you need both Kinyanim and no single Kinyan is sufficient. So the Gemara answers, Hachamai Eskinan, what's the case here? Shekibel Alav Ladun B'dinei Yisrael. That he accepted that the transaction would be governed by Jewish law, meaning not only Jewish law, but the Jewish law for Jew-to-Jew transactions. And we know there that either ma'ot or mishicha works depending on who you subscribe to. If you believe that kinyan mishicha is the only valid form of kinyan between Jew-to-Jew, then what do you need the ma'ot there at all? Hachikamar, afa pishe natan ma'ot. Even though he gave the money, if he did a kinyan mishicha, it works. Ilolo. If he didn't do it, it doesn't work. And even though in Dinei Yisrael, if you have a transaction of ma'ot without mishicha, there's still a din of mishipara, the Baal HaTos would say over here, that's not din. That's just equitable, and we curse him if he doesn't stand by it, but you can't enforce it in a court of law. And that's why it's not called Dinei Yisrael. Or, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam Shita that the mishipara only applies to Yukra Vizula. The price went up or went down on the item, that's when we say there's a mishipara. But if the person's going to suffer a significant loss, there's no din of mishipara in that case. And over here, the person's going to suffer an irreversible significant loss because he's going to lose all the materials that are in avodah zarah, and therefore mishipara does not apply over here. Iochi kasher reisha. Then the reisha is problematic because there you have a kinyan mishicha without ma'ot, and it doesn't work. You told me you're doing this with Dinei Yisrael. Dinei Yisrael is kinyan mishicha works according to Reish Lakish. Or according to Abaye's explanation of Reish Lakish in the previous Amud. Am Rabaye, Reisha Mishum Deika Mekach Taot. The beginning or the first transaction was a Mekach Taot. Because he bought Avodah Zarah when he never intended to buy Avodah Zarah. So I'm like, Rova, Reisha Mishamika Mekhatot, Seifa Lekha Mekhatot? Why is the Reisha a transaction that wasn't intended? And the Seifa is not a transaction that was intended? Who cares what Kinyan you use? In either case, they didn't want the Avodah Zarah. So why is it a Mekhatot in the Reisha and not in the Seifa? Elohama Rova, Reisha Mishamika Mekhatot. Both the Reisha and the Seifa are a failed transaction over here because there was deception. Reisha, the loya Zuze, in the Reisha we had yet to give cash. Lo mechseik avodat kochavim yad Yisrael. It doesn't look like the Jew already purchased the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, he can return it. Since all they did was a Kinyan Mashicha. And even though in this case, the Kinyan Mashicha was the governing law because they said they're going to do it B'dinei Yisrael, from an outsider's perspective, it still looks like it's the Goy's property. Because no money exchanged hands. And for that reason, the Jew can return the Avodah Zarah to him and just not pay him for that Avodah Zarah because of the fact that it was a Mekach Taot. Sefer, the Yavzuze, Mechsei Kavrat Kohavim, Yad Yisrael. The Sefer, where he already gave cash, that doesn't look so good. Truthfully, it is a Mekach Taot, and it should be able to unwind the transaction. The reason he can't unwind the transaction is because of the Marat Ayin aspect. He paid cash already. He got it. Now it looks like it was his, and now he's selling it back to the goy. That looks like he's getting a naw from a Avodah Zarah that we won't allow. Vabaya amar lecha. Vabaya will explain differently. Reisha mekach taot, delo yodo. The Reisha is a mekach taot because he didn't know about it. Delo yivlei zuze, because he never paid cash yet. As Rashi explains over here, the stam tagar lo mayin achat matan maot. Generally, a commercial trader only looks at the merchandise once he has to put up the cash. Until then, he speaks and says, all right, yeah, we're going to trade this for this. Da, da, da. Then he comes to actually pay the cash, says, let me inspect the merchandise. Let me see the goods. So in the first case where he didn't have cash transaction, then he never looked at the goods. So you can't blame him for the fact that there was a Avodah Zarah here. He didn't know about it. That's a Mekach Taot. Seifa lav Mekach Taot, too. The Seifa is not a Mekach Taot. Not like Rava, where it's a mistake as well. No, it's no mistake. The Kevin Yad Zuzay, Kikamashich, Ibali Leonune. Since he already paid cash, and he's doing the Kinyan Mashicha, he should have checked it out. Bahadur Mimshach, and then do the Kinyan Mashicha. Kinyan Mashicha was the method for finalizing the transaction. But he already paid cash. If he paid cash already, it's his obligation to look through the merchandise. The fact that he didn't means not that it wasn't a Mekach Taot, but it means that he's mochel on it. The fact that he had the opportunity to do such and didn't take up that opportunity, it's as if he was mochel on that right. And as Tosfos points out, if there's a Mekach Taot, it's a Mekach Taot. It doesn't matter whether you should have checked or not checked. Nevertheless, in this type of purchase agreement, he should have been aware or known the fact that there would be Avodat Kochavim in these types of transactions, and therefore he should have been more acutely paying attention to what he was purchasing and what was involved. The fact that he didn't do that now becomes a problem for him because he should have checked. And since he didn't check, the Mekach Taot is waived because of the Mechila. And we don't have Mekach Taot. But that only be true here where there's an expectation that there would be something that he should be checking for. Therefore, we hold him to that standard. If there's not a reason that he should have to check, then he may not check so well. And therefore, the din of Mekach Taot would still be in effect, even though he's put the money up and he's taking the merchandise. Ravashi Amar. So now we have two other solutions to explaining that braita. Ravashi Amar, midereisha mishicha, eino kona. Just like in the reisha where mishicha doesn't work, seifanami mishicha eino kona. So too in the seifa, mishicha doesn't work, which would be a problem for a meimar. Va'aydi the tana reisha mashach, tani seifa nami mashach. And therefore, in the seifa, it's just because of parallel structure. The mashach of the seifa is not meaningful. And therefore, the only mechanism of Kinyan here is Kinyan Ma'ot, which would be supportive of Baye and Reish Lakish's reading of the Bright or view, that Ma'ot is the mechanism for non-Jews. And the reason Mashach is mentioned in the second half of the Bright is just because the first half mentioned Mishicha. The first half said there was a Kinyan Mishicha, the second one says a Kinyan Mishicha. But the only thing that really makes a difference is the Kinyan Ma'ot, and that's the only mechanism for Kinyan. Now, Ravashi's Shita here is very problematic because it's very supportive of Reish Lakish. It says that basically Kinyan Ma'ot is the mechanism for Kinyan for Novi Kuchavim, which means that for a Jew, it's Kinyan Mishicha, which is Shita Reish Lakish. But we know, Machloke Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Halacha Ke Rabbi Yochanan bar mitzvah, with the exception of three cases that Rava brings. This is in one of those three cases. But now Rav Ashi, who's a batrup, he's even later than Rava, is saying the locha is like Reish Lakish. That would seem to indicate that the locha is like Reish Lakish. That's what this massive Tosfot is discussing over here. And he says, Kasha mikan, the Rav Ashi who batra yoter mi Rava, sovrik Reish Lakish. The mechashika mefureshit mina Torah. Based on that, we should paskin like Reish Lakish. Reish Lomar, the Rav Ashi, the locha hadar bay the gabi ameymar. Rav Ashi over here, giving in his explanation, eventually retracted his position and held like a Meimar, who we discussed at the top of the Amud, and he changed his mind. Enoch Hanami, that's what he originally thought, but he changed his mind, and that would then corroborate our view that Rabbi Yochanan is like Rabbi Yochanan. Also, Ha'otam Ravina Rav Ashi Ba'ai Milto, B'Sof Shmaita Maskinan, Shma Mina Mishicha Bo V'Kochvim Koneh, Shma Mina. We have other places where we find Ravina and Rav Ashi coming to the conclusion that Meshicha works by Oved Chavim. If that's the case, then by Jew would be Ma'ot, and that would be supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's position. V'od Yesh L'daktek, you should also, the Hilchot of Rabbi Yochanan, the Ma'ot Konot, Dvar Torah, Mida Amar, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Dvar Torah, Ma'ot Konot. Because Rav Nachman, who the Locha is like him by Dinim, also supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosfot brings overwhelming evidence that the Din should be like Rabbi Yochanan. His problem is that Rav Ashi over here sounds otherwise. So he says that Rav Ashi changed his mind later, and we also find other places where Rav Ashi seems to indicate, along with Ravina, the fact that it's Kinyan Meshicha that works for Novi Kachamim and not Kinyan Ma'ot. Ravina gives another answer. Amar mi d'seifa Meshicha koneh, reishanami Meshicha koneh. So here, now you have a support of Rabbi Yochanan's position, because he's saying if the seifa Meshicha is the mechanism, so too in the reisha Meshicha would have been the mechanism. Ah, the reisha says Mashach and it didn't work. What are you going to do with that? Reisha achi kamar. This is how you have to read the reisha. Im lo natan vilo mashach. He didn't give ma'ot, and he didn't do a kinyan meshicha. Well, that's not what it says. It says, alokeya kruto ot menovi kukavim, matzabe enovi kukavim, imach lo natan ma'ot mashach. Mashach sounds like he did a kinyan meshicha. What he's saying is that the im achalo modifies both words there. Im achalo natan ma'ot, and also im achalo mashach. Don't read it umashach being that he didn't do ma'ot, he did do meshicha. Rather, it's he didn't do ma'ot and mashach, that he didn't do either of them. And that's the way to read the Braita. And that's why yachzor. That's why he can go back on it. So Ravina is either holding like Rabbi Yochanan, or he's holding like a Bayin Rabba over here, who said that he was mekabel alav ladun b'dinei Yisrael. And then that would be supportive of Reish Lakish, because he's saying dinei Yisrael is b'mishicha, but a din goy would not be b'mishicha. By yachzor. Then what's the question? But there was no Mashicha, there's no Ma'ot. Why can't he back out of the transaction? There was nothing. So Yachzor mid-Dvarim. He can back out of giving his word. Kasavar, because he holds Dvarim, Yeshvei Mishmichu Surei Amana. There is a machloket in the Gemara Baben Siya as to whether when one gives their word, are they accountable for that? You know, when they say they're going to go through a transaction, does that bind them to the transaction? So first of all, that's a machloket in the Gemara in Baba Metzia. What we're saying here, this is according to the view that there is a need to stand by your word. Bahani milei Yisrael miYisrael. That's only true when you're dealing with a peer-to-peer transaction. When you're in the club, if you make such a commitment, then you're bound. The kai may be duburayu. Because Jews stand by their word. So when you're dealing with another Jew, so everybody stands by their word, and therefore when you don't stand by your word, it's a problem. About Yisrael Mohi Kochavim, on the other hand, when you're dealing with Jew to non-Jew, the Inu Lo Kaimi Biduburayu, they don't see giving your word as being a binding transaction. Lo, then the Jew himself is also not bound by that. Meaning that you're dealing with their world and their laws. So just like in their world, giving your word is not meaningful. So when you give your word, it's not going to be meaningful. We're not going to hold you to your word or to that integrity. And that's what he's saying here. That if you didn't do a Kamishikha and didn't do my oath, then you don't have to worry about unwinding the transaction, even though you gave your word, because of the fact that giving your word is not a binding mechanism according to the Goyim, and therefore you're not held accountable for it. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says Ma'ot Konot Mina Torah, and Kinyan Meshicha is only a Din D'Rabbanan, if you gave money and didn't do a Kinyan Meshicha, which the Chachamim say, even though Ma'ot Konot Midoraita, according to Rabbi Yochanan, nevertheless the Chachamim said you need a Meshicha to complete the transaction, or according to Reish Lakish, whereby Meshicha is the only real mechanism, Midoraita, and when you give Ma'ot, the transaction is not complete. Nevertheless, there still is a restriction on Mishib Para with regards to that. So by Kinyan Ma'ot, so now you have three different engagements. You have a Kinyan Mishicha, which is a finalized transaction which can be upheld in a court of law. Then you have a Din of Ma'ot, which cannot be upheld if you paid Ma'ot and didn't do a Kinyan Mishicha. The Din there will be that it cannot be upheld in a court of law, but it could be in a court of equity, which is that we will curse you with a Mishib Para because you didn't abide by the transaction, even though it technically failed because there was no Mishicha. It was a technical failure, but the Ma'ot exchanging it should hold you accountable for that, and therefore you're subject to a Mishib Para. And then there's one level below that, which is Mechusrei Amana. If you gave your word, are you bound by your word? Whether that word is not binding at all transactionally, which is the view of Rav, or is that binding not in a court of law, not even a court of equity, but that Ruach HaChamim Eino Nochai Menu, that the Chamim are not happy with someone who backs out after they've given their word, because according to Rav Yochanan, since the other party relied on your word, therefore it's binding in some way, and that reliance then creates a situation in which we cannot enforce the transaction, but we're not pleased with that type of behavior because it ruins the commercial standards that are accepted by other people whereby they rely on a person's word in order to enter into a transaction or to have other transactions. But then when you back out of it, you leave that person high and dry. And that we don't want to happen. Obviously, if there was reason to believe that the word that this person was giving was exaggerated in some way, or there was no reason to believe that you should rely on it, then they wouldn't be binding even according to Rabbi Yochanan. It has to be that there's detrimental reliance, and that reliance is a reasonable reliance on that individual. In that case, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't back out of your word. And what Ravina is saying over here, that's only true between Jew and Jew. That's not true between Jew and Goy, because the Goy himself doesn't hold himself to that standard, so then the Jew should not be held to that standard. That obviously has ramifications today whereby that may not be true or that might be different. Again, this would all be modified, qualified by the Tosafot and the Meiri, which is if they do stand by their word, then standing by your word is important. If there's going to be a Chilul Hashem if you don't stand by your word, that's also problematic. And therefore, those all are considerations here. Yes, Meikar Adin, you may not have to stand by your word. There's no Mechusrei Amana, even if you believe that your word is binding for Jews, but nevertheless, you have to take into consideration all the other factors whereby your integrity and honesty might be important, and backing out of a deal would be a Chilul Hashem, or possibly in the world today, people do stand by their word, and therefore you'd be bound to stand by your word as well. Okay, we're going to stop here by the end of Yud Gimel Amud Bet.